Well, great. It's great to be here. It's been a great week. As everyone knows, me, Pastor Sean, and family members, we were all, and delegates, well, and stuff, we were all down at district conference and dealing with that and just being down in San Diego. And then me and Pastor Sean were blessed to be ordained in the Wesleyan Church. And thank you. But it made me think of it when I was kind of reviewing my notes, and as I'm getting used to God doing and stuff, when I review towards the end of the week, I start changing things in my sermon, and it reminds me of something they said, and I'm paraphrasing because my memory is not the best, but something that was told to all of us who were ordained this week or who were licensed, or I forget the term, the license, I'm blanking on this, permanent licensing. They were letting us know that even when we come back, nothing's different. And it's not bad. It's not like because me and Sean went down there and we got ordained and we did the exam and we went through all this process that we are now coming here this weekend with extra superpowers or anything like that, but it's really God. And it's this humility that those of us who serve and who are serving Christ in our life, whether it be at a welcome table or announcements or emailing or whatever you're doing in the church, it's that service, you know, and that God blesses us with and God uses. And then with me and Pastor Sean, it's really God in our life. And it's just our humility and being humble to what God wants to use us for in the church. And it kind of leads, it really leads me into what we're talking about today. And like I said last week, we are in the book of John. And normally I know what I'm preaching, how long I'm preaching it. I usually, like, you can ask Pastor Sean, I usually have this diagram of, like, week one, week two, week seven, completely laid out. I have nothing any week except for moving forward. And this week we're going to be in John. And that's the one constant I know. We are going to stay in the book of John and read through the book of John. I just don't know how long it's going to take. I don't know how many verses each week we're going to do. When Pastor Sean picks his verses, he might say, man, I only got through two. Okay, that's what we're doing next week or whatever is going on. But this week in particular, I just found it ironic that I wanted to title this sermon, The Humility of John the Baptist. Because it's through humility that we really are able to serve God, that we are able to allow ourselves to set our own life aside, set our own desires aside, our own wants, our own ambitions, and really just say, God, use me. How do you want to use me? So we're going to look at the life of John the Baptist and learn from his own example of humility this morning. And John the Baptist, if you don't know, was a key figure in God's plan for salvation. But he remained humble and submitted to God's will. John the Baptist is a perfect example of someone that is used tremendously. I mean, there's not, when you think of key figures in the Bible, like Jesus Christ, obviously, but people like John the Baptist is usually a pretty close understanding. You know, the disciples and other ones, and then you kind of break down and go into other things. But John the Baptist is up there. Okay, he's pretty up there. But yes, Lord. But John the Baptist is really humble. And as we dive into this, we're going to start in verse 19 this morning, and it's where John the Baptist denies being the Messiah. So let's start in verse 19, and we're going to read through 28. It says, now this was John's testimony. When the Jewish leaders in Jerusalem sent priests and Levites to ask him who he was, he did not fail to confess, but confessed freely, I am not the Messiah. They asked him, then who are you? Are you Elijah? He said, I am not. Are you the prophet? He answered, no. Finally, they said, who are you? Give us an answer to take back to those who sent us. What do you say about yourself? John replied in the words of Isaiah the prophet, I am the voice of the one calling in the wilderness. Make straight the way for the Lord. Now the Pharisees who had been sent questioned him, why then do you baptize if you are not the Messiah, nor Elijah, nor the prophet? I baptize with water, John replied. But among you stands one you do not know. He is the one who comes after me, the straps of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie. This all happened at Bethany, on the other side of the Jordan, where John was baptizing. So you can see here that John has no problem denying what they're saying about him. Now, it's easy for us to deny accusations or things that are not uplifting, right? Like, no, I'm not a liar. No, I've never said that. I've never been that kind of person. I'm not that way when I drive. Whatever have you. We have this impulse to deny things when we feel like we're being attacked. But in this case, John the Baptist is like, in every way, these phrases are uplifting him. When they asked him, are you Elijah? Like, that's pretty cool. Wow. Think I'm him? Are you the prophet? Wow. You would even like put it in your mind to think I'm him? Wow. Like, are you the Messiah? Wow, I must be doing something right if you think I'm him. And in those situations, it might be easy to kind of uplift yourself and be like, I did good. I'm doing pretty darn well for myself. But John really shows humility. And I think it's a lesson we all can learn in different areas of our life, especially when it comes to being Christian. John is really just keen on saying, look, I am not him. I'm not him so much that I'm not even worthy to untie his sandals. But he is the one following. He is the one coming after me. I am just the one saying, prepare. And I'm saying, prepare yourself and make straight the way for the Lord. And he admits that, and he takes hold of that, and he is passionate about it. And as Christians, if you call yourself a Christian, if you've accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you want to be Christ-like, or you're asking yourself, what can I do in life? What do I do? This is a very good example to prepare the way, to lead others to Christ, to say, look, like, I am just me, but the Savior that saved me is everything. And let me introduce you. So the first point this morning is this humble submission. I was like, I still hear music. What is going on? So our first point this morning is the humble submission of John to God's plan. So in the first few verses, 19 through 22, we see the submission of John to fulfill God's plan. And when he was questioned about his identity, John did not hesitate to declare that he was not the Messiah. He didn't. Bill. He didn't hesitate to declare that he was not the Messiah, okay? But he did declare that he was simply just a voice crying out in the wilderness. He understood that his role was to prepare the way for the Lord. He understood and submitted to that. So in our life, what are we doing to submit to him? What are we doing to ask ourselves, how am I preparing the way for my family? How am I preparing the way for my children? How am I preparing the way for my spouse to know Christ? So John's humility can be seen in his humility to God's plan for his life. He didn't try to exalt himself. He didn't try to take credit for something that was not his to claim. And he recognized that his role was essential in God's plan, and he embraced it. But he embraced it with humility. He didn't step out in front and say, wow, look at me. Let me take this glory. Let me breathe this in for a minute and then have God as a backstage reference. He didn't have God as the secondhand show part of the show. He admitted and he said, no, Jesus Christ, who is coming after me, is the main event. You know, in a way, John the Baptist was like, I'm just that comedian that gets you guys focused on the stage before the main event comes. And he took so much pride in that. So we're called to have a humble heart and submit to God and God's plan for our lives in the same way. But we must not seek our own glory. We must not seek our own satisfaction to say, if I do this, what is in it for me? If I walk this way and lead these people, what do I get out of it at the long run? Like, what is my benefit for it? And make our decision based on what we get. Instead, embrace it and not seek our own glory, but let us learn from John and say, Lord, use me to glorify you. Use my life to glorify you. Use what I've gone through and my testimony to glorify you. Use this worship that we sing to glorify you. Use this message to glorify you. And that's the purpose, is to glorify him. So this humble submission of John to God's plan is the first what we want to look at. But then we also need to understand our second point is that the humble understanding of John's identity and what John identified with as this. So in John 1:23, it says, John replied in the words of Isaiah the prophet, I am the voice of the one calling in the wilderness, make straight the way for the Lord. So he recognized he was not the light, but a witness to the light. He recognized that he was not that, but he said, look over there, for the one is coming, is the light. So John knew his role was not to shine, but to point others to the true light, which was Jesus Christ. But realize this, that John, in his humble submission to the Lord, even saying that he's not worthy to untie the sandals of Christ, how impactful he was used for the gospel. How impactful he was used, how much, that's not a word. It is a word. I'm using it the wrong way though. How much of an impact he was used for the message of Christ. He has he's in this book, he's being described. There's something going on in his life for him to be used as an example. But he was so humbled and didn't take any credit and really wanted all the credit to be God's. But in that humility and submission, he received a ton of credit. So he knew his role was to point others to Christ. So maybe you're struggling this morning with your identity. Maybe you're struggling this morning with, who am I? What am I supposed to be? I've been running in circles for so long. My job feels like Monday through Friday, 8 to 5. Maybe you feel like you're in that movie Bill with Bill Murray, Groundhog's Day. You know, and every day you wake up and it's the same song on the radio. And you just want to throw that alarm clock and you're like, I can't do it anymore. And maybe that's the feeling that you get. But imagine, just imagine for a moment, if that is what you feel, if you were to just do one thing different and say to yourself every single day, Lord, use me for your glory in my life. And if my life is to be 8 to 5 Monday through Friday in the same job for every day, then my job every day of my life in that job is to share Christ to those people. And if your life is moving around, or maybe you are someone in sales or something like that where you are in different locations every day, then use that to glorify God and ask God, how do you use me in this? Maybe you're lucky enough to be retired and you've seen the other side of the tunnel and you're letting us all know how glorious it is. And wherever you go on all those grand vacations, yes, I'm talking to you, just kidding. But in all that time in your retirement, who is God putting you in front of? What people is he putting you in front of that normally we wouldn't be in front of? There's so many people that you guys are put in front of that I know nothing about. There's so many people that are involved in your life that I'm not in that circle of influence, but you are. And that's why it's important to understand that God uses you in your role and in your life to glorify him for his purpose to those he places you in front. And it's this word we use called oikos, okay? And it's that God really puts you strategically in front of people in your life that you are impacted with in your circle of influence. And every one of you has a different circle of influence. And who you influence has a different circle of influence in their own life. And sometimes they're just like, oh, these are just my best friends. Nope. God put those people there. And those people that you go around, that you're around in your life, through your job, through your life, through whatever you're doing, those are opportunities for you to share Christ through humility like John, and just say, "How use me, Lord. How would you use me today? Maybe you're not the best speaker, but I know of a pretty important figure named Moses who Jesus Christ used for some pretty big things, who was not a very good speaker. I know that if you're not, maybe you aren't a good speaker, that, you know, what is that phrase? Actions speak louder than words. And maybe people don't even have to talk to you, but they're like, man, what is different about them? What is different about them? And then they may come up to you and say, hey, you seem like a very happy person. What's your secret? You're like, oh, let me tell you about this man named Jesus Christ who has changed my life. But we have to have humility to allow God to use us in those ways. We have to get out of the way in our own life to allow God to use us for his purpose. We have to be willing to make that left turn when we don't know why. Because God knows. So John the Baptist was willing to go the way God wanted him to walk the path that God wanted him to, and to be used for God's glory and be humble about it. So we're called to witness and point others to Jesus, but not to glorify ourselves. But to simply say, look, I'm not perfect, and that's why I need Jesus. And he can help you too. And life with him is so much more rewarding. It's so much more fulfilling. And all the things that still don't make sense, I know that the Lord has my back. And I know that it makes sense to him. It's almost like that trust where if I'm running around and I'm caught in a situation and my house is on fire and I'm in this middle room and I'm like, I have no idea what to do. But the firefighter comes up to me and says, follow me. Think I'm going to follow the firefighter? You better believe it. There's a fire going on and he's been trained to fight the fire and to rescue people in the fire. Well, guess what? Jesus Christ was specifically sent to save the world from our sins that we couldn't save ourselves from. So if you have the Lord and Savior in front of you saying, follow me, I know the way for you to have eternal salvation. Why in the world are we not going, okay? Because this world is messed up. I don't know if you guys ever turn on the TV, but every time I turn it on, it's messed up. So following Christ seems like a perfectly good reason for me. And I may not understand what's going on, but I understand that he knows what's going on. I'm just going to follow him. And I'm going to be like, look, I don't know what's going on. You're in front of me. You're going to make a left. Okay, I'm going to make a left. You're going to turn right. All right, I'm going to make a right. I'm going to keep my head down. I'm going to keep my mouth closed. I'm going to follow you. And when you say speak, I'm going to speak. When you say go, I'm going to go. When you say jump, I'm going to say how high. Because I trust you. And John is trusting what the Lord has asked him to do. He is trusting in the Lord and saying, you tell me where to go. And it's a perfect example of what we should be doing in our lives as Christians. Imagine if all of us just every morning woke up and said, lead me, Lord. Tell me what to do. And we're all just like doop, 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 around the world, just sharing Christ and sharing the gospel and not worrying about what people are going to say or think of us or worrying about what if they don't like me for it? Okay, they don't like you. Move on. Because maybe you're not the person to touch that person. But trust me, maybe you're the person to plant that seed and then 5 years down the road, it clicks. But what if you didn't do on that day what God has called you to do because you were worried or fearful or decided that I just want to have my day to myself and do what I want? And that one person you passed walking your dog or that person on the other side of the gas station pump that you could have said hi to or the person at the grocery store that you didn't want to go to that day, what if that's the person that God intended you to reach? So just in humility, say, Lord, use me and follow him. And the last point this morning is just this humble perspective of John in his role. In the last few verses, 26 to 28, it says, I baptize with water, John replied, but among you stands one you do not know. He is the one who comes after me, the straps of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie. This all happened at Bethany, on the other side of the Jordan, where John was baptized. So when he was questioned about baptizing, he acknowledges that his baptism, what he is doing, is only a symbolic gesture to show others of what their belief is in. But the true baptism will come from the Messiah. The true baptism comes from Jesus. So John understood, first and foremost, that his role was not the most significant, but he still fulfilled it with humility and obedience, knowing that it helped serve the purpose of the most important role, which was Jesus Christ. So he did not seek to gain followers for himself, but rather to prepare a way for the one who is to come and say, look, when he comes, follow him. Be prepared. Make ready, like, know him. Be cleansed for him. Because when he comes, you're going to want to jump on that train with him. So it can be easy for us to seek recognition and praise for the work we do. And it's not a bad thing to say thank you. And like, yes, I appreciate it. You know, there was a conversation that I had with this guest speaker at our youth event, our youth camp. And me and him were talking to another gentleman who really just came up and asked us, he's like, what do you do when someone says, thank you for your sermon? How do you impact that? And me and the other pastor agreed. We're like, we're not trying to glorify ourselves through what we preach. Because I'm preaching from the Word of God. I'm preaching from the Bible. None of what I've written down is like some thought out of my own head. Instead, it's just me sharing the gospel. It's me sharing the message of Jesus Christ. And if somebody hears that and says thank you, we told them it's not a problem to recognize and appreciate that someone heard the message. But it's when you make that shift to understand, if people make that shift to say, oh, I gave a great message. That was my words. I did that so great. It was great. Guess what? God will humble you really quick. There's so many people that you see on TV and other places that it's about them, me, and they have a huge following. But guess what? They are going to be on their knees alongside of every single one of us when the Lord comes again, and he's not any further up than any one of us. And in reality, just like it says, he will be judged more strictly because of that. And because of his placement to share the gospel and to be in a ministerial role and to be a pastor. But to be humble and say, it's not my words, like this message this morning is not from me. The message next week from Pastor Sean, I think it's next week, yeah, is not from him. The message from a guest speaker that we might have, hopefully, is from God, right? But it's from God. And we just want to share it. And John shares his message. John shares his life. John understands his role to share the gospel. So we need to understand that we might not be the limelight or the focal point or the main event. But every task that we do for God, no matter how small we think it is, even if it's holding open the door on a Sunday morning, handing out a bulletin, being at the welcome table, being on the prayer chain, I'm running out of thoughts in my mind, but whatever role that you're fulfilled in, even if you think it's super small and you're like, this isn't that big of a deal, understand that no matter how small, it's crucial in his plan. It's crucial in the plan for Christ to reach others for his glory. So we need to find the same joy and contentment that John did in his role in our own. So it's my prayer this morning, and as I invite the worship team back up, it's my prayer this morning that we would ask God, where do you have me? What role am I in your plan, and how do I best fulfill it? How do I best reach people for you? And as we continue to grow in our walk with the Lord, as we continue to grow in our own life and relationship with Jesus Christ, I hope we understand and we embrace our own role in his plan, just as John did. So this week was humility. Which is a great follow-up to last week talking about the Word became flesh. Because after Christ, I'm just humbly submitting to His authority. So this morning, as we go out and as we finish this song, I would just pray and ask that you would just give this time to the Lord. Maybe you've been off track. Maybe you've been wondering. Maybe you've just been feeling like you're stagnant and this Groundhog's Day effect. And I would just challenge you to say, God, what do you want me to do different? What do you want me to change? How do you want me to look at life? How do you want me to look at people? And just seek the Lord in your life to be used. And then just be humble about it and submit to Him and say, okay, I'm going to do that for you. Let's pray.